Go to Galatians chapter 1. What we're going to talk about tonight is masquerading by either truth or spirits or anybody else. The idea is, how do we know that when there is something that takes place in us, if it's something that leads to truth or leads away? Is it toward the right hand or toward the left? How do you know? Which voice do you hear? Which voice do you believe when you hear the billions of voices in this world? How do you know that I'm not giving you a pile of shit? Good point. And so that's what the real purpose, this is in line with the study of the Holy Spirit, the real purpose of the Spirit is to reveal to you that which is truth and to negate that which is not truth. Anyway, Galatians 1, verse 6. Paul was writing to a group of people in Galatians who had been seduced. They had left the way and had gone after some other path, but in Jesus' name, in Christ's name. They were still on the wrong path, but they were in Christ's name. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I now say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That's pretty wild. That's the bottom line. Anything that pleases man cannot be of God. That's pretty wild. The hallmark, the bottom line, the revelator of any falsehood in this world is that it pleases you. That's frightening. Because your ears are so attuned to desire and to look for those things which are pleasing to you. Paul and Timothy, when he was writing in Timothy, said, you heap to yourselves many teachers whose only job is to tickle your ears. That's mind-blowing. Paul, by definition, said, if any person, if anything, if any spirit is speaking unto you, something that pleases you, you can bet it's a lie.
So that's the difference. So there's the differences between comfort and pleasure.
Because say what?
I mean, there are all kinds of things that talk about comfort.
I mean, you're saying, you're talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. I mean, that's, so it's like not necessarily bad all the time.
I mean, yes,
it's not necessarily miserable.
Yes, it is. It's always miserable to the flesh. There's not anything that can be said that's in the name of truth that isn't miserable to the flesh. That isn't miserable to your normal way of being and thinking. Now this, stop a minute. I mean, unless, I don't want to go any farther unless you can see the truth of this. Can you think of any exceptions? Then why are you here? Why would anybody come night after night to a place where you're being told things that are not at all pleasing to you?
Well, that's why I find myself sitting here wondering what we mean by the word pleasing, because
almost how I mean. That's what he means.
Well, okay, I don't know what
For do I persuade man or God?
Overall, I mean, most of the time, no, the things are not pleasing. They're very upsetting. But somehow later they're, what are they?
Okay.
Are they not peaceful?
Everything that happens that's of God, and every word and thing that is spoken to you that's of God, first, instantaneously, its gut response must produce that which is not pleasing, or suffering. Then afterward, it yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
You understand? But nothing that you would hear... You know, I keep telling you, you go anywhere in the world, and people are talking about this book, and it's even titled The Good News. There is nothing in this book that's good news to you.
Like your automatic response is, gee, this is going to be a good thing, and this isn't, and that's, I mean, that's going to please you. Then that's simple. What I think of is like moving into that apartment. When you first suggested it, my automatic response was, you got to be out of your mind. But now it's great.
I told you all this before, and I'll probably tell you it several times again. When I first began to see, and when I first saw this mystery in January of 1972, the first thing I did was I assumed that the experience that had happened to me was the one that was common to all people that have somewhere in their labeling the name of Christ. And so I went for a long time, and I visited over 120 different churches. And my response when I went into those churches was, and I began to hear what they were saying, that this is in addition to the jillions of preachers on radio and television, but my response was instantaneous when I began to hear the talking. It was instantaneously I became nauseous. I became ill and felt like throwing up. Now, this is a frightening thing, because I had just had an experience where I believed that for the first time in the world, I knew this mystery, or I was associated with these people that call themselves Christians. And all of a sudden, I tried to go with that group that called themselves Christians, and the fruit of it was, only I became physically ill. Now, why? The reason I became physically ill was because in every case, without exception, their version of what they were saying about God was they were trying to teach me how to get something in the name of God, whether it's peace or heaven or prosperity or understanding or anything. It was like their goal and their speech was after the manner to try to teach me to gain something vis-a-vis my relationship with Christ. And I instantly had known that that was a lie. That the only thing that I had to know how to do was to give. Everything about our persona desires that we gain something from our activities. Your whole basis of life is on the fundamental principle that you're involved in something, whether it's jobs, relationships, work, family, you are gaining something from that activity. For most of you, that's still your understanding of your walk with God. You come because somehow you gain something. You gain something because of the fellowship here of the people. You gain something because somehow you're spiritually fed or challenged or intellectually stimulated. But that has to cease. Your only purpose in life is to learn how to give. And that is never, ever, ever pleasing to you. You can bet on it. You can bet the farm on it. And that's the basis of 99.99% of your suffering and your angst and your confusion vis-a-vis being here and in your relationships with anyone. You walk through life seeking to gain something from that thing. You search for friends, I desire friends. You search for fellowship, I desire fellowship. You search for understanding, I desire understanding. The grand mystery of everything we have to do with is that you never again search for friends, you give friendship. You never again search for money, you give money. You never again search for fulfillment, you give fulfillment. That's the singular issue with regard to you if you're naming the name of Christ on your being. Now I challenge you to consider that. How many of you have had that as the basis of your relationships with people? The reasons for coming here? If you're coming here to gain something, you won't stay. You must learn only one thing, that the desire, the innate desire within you to gain is the lie. How can you gain when you already own all things? Every attempt that you make to gain something, whether it's love, friendship, fellowship, money, career, makes the death of Christ unnecessary. Can you see the possibility that anytime you're in a state of mind which says, I need something, that's the moment, that magic moment, that focal point in history in which you say, Father, forgive me? And rather, in that instant moment, at that point, you say, Father, teach me to give. I never again need anything. Now, I don't care if it's in relationships with each other, between man and wife, if it's your reason to coming here, if it's the relationships between boyfriend, girlfriend, the instant that you speak or think vis-a-vis, I need this, you're speaking and thinking a lie, and you're masquerading as an angel of light. And you're preaching by your being a false gospel. Now, every other thing, we're going to study a whole lot of stuff about this Spirit, this third person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. But it can be summed up in one sentence. The Holy Spirit is here to teach you to give. And if you're trying to gain anything from the Holy Spirit, you're listening to a wrong spirit and you will be deceived. And if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Stop and think of your lives for a moment. The constant, insatiable appetites that you have, body, soul, and spirit, the constant problems you've had with your relationships, the constant problem you've had with finances, career objectives, whatever it is, they have but one source. The Bible calls it concupiscence. It means wanting more than you have in any dimension this instant, and the next instant, and the next instant, and the next instant. Now, there is no single part of this message that's pleasing to you, because every moment of every day it will be challenged vis-a-vis to lay down your life. Everything else is bullshit. Everything else in this book is gone. Everything else that we're about is done. Because if you are not viewing God, if you are not viewing this body, if you're not viewing this book from the standpoint of that truth, you will be following a false gospel. You will be following a false lead in terms of the stimulus that's coming upon you at any given moment. Now, I know you all well enough, except Jody, to know that this is the source of every problem you've ever had. And yet, I've talked around this year after year after year. And you always forget it. You always come back to the point that somehow you have been wronged. And so your anger at someone is based simply on what? It's unfulfilled greed. But then you see, wham, all of a sudden, in that instant of time, you see another truth. The moment anger tries to raise its head, you say, Father, forgive me. For I see that I've believed a lie. How can I be mad if I own all things? How can I be mad if everything in the universe exists for the purposes of which this mystery, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory? I marvel that you are so soon removed from another gospel, or from the gospel to another gospel. I marvel that you are so soon removed from truth to believe the lie. 5 minutes after we leave here tonight, something will come into your path and you will be what? Tested. You think you're being tested to learn something. No, you're not. You're being tested to confess that the act of desiring more than you have at every instant is the lie that has kept you in bondage your entire life. It's the lie that has deceived the whole world. It's the lie that's the basis of every thought form, every religion, every scientific quest, that you desire and you need more than you have. The truth is that at this instant, that which is the real you understands all things and knows all things. That which is the real you owns all things. That which was the real you is in perfect health, desiring only an opportunity to give, because therein he is fulfilled. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Never again Rick needing something, Lee needing something, Liz, Barbara, Tyra, all of us, you don't need anything ever again. You only need, if you will, the reminder by the Holy Spirit to give at that instant. You desire love, give love. You desire friendship, give friendship. Do you desire revelation, give it. There is no thing that you can desire that isn't fulfilled in your giving of it. That's the truth. And everything else in this world is a lie. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? You believe it? How can you ever again be a victim? It's impossible. Stop and think of the freedom of what your life would be like if you were never again a victim. God's good pleasure to give you all things freely with no effort on your part. It's the Antichrist called your mind's desire that you should earn that which you have. Therefore, you need more than you have to give you the opportunity to have righteousness by getting it. That's the battle that's going on in time and space. Only one battle. But how soon you forget. Every word of Christ reveals this truth. Can you see the bondage you've been in? My prayer is that every time that you're tempted to believe you need anything, at that instant the Holy Spirit would hit you by the 2x4. But he's more gentle than I am. See, I... What?
Sometimes.
This is the mystery that has been hid from all generations, from all peoples, at all times. This is where the manifestation of it, and it manifests itself across the timeline that is no time. In other words, there is never a time, there is never a moment, there is never an instant when what I've said tonight isn't true. It'll take the pressure on that moment will come from every possible direction, an infinite number of directions, to find out whether or not that position is true in every one of the areas with you. Tell me what you think you need, and I'll tell you that's the area that you're deceived in. So the confession is, Father, forgive me for believing I need more than I have. At that instant, you will be set free. However, the difference is between confessing it and admitting it. A lot of you, oh, I admit it. God didn't want you to admit it. To confess it means to speak the same thing as God with knowledge, to know that you need nothing. Now, on this movement that we call life, you're going to screw up 10 billion times. You're going to be deceived 10 billion times tomorrow. But it doesn't make the truth any less true. But the thing that happens, it will cause you always to be in a state that says, Father, forgive me. There will never be a time in which you can take a stand on anything. That's the way this is worked out in relationships, in activity, because you have to give to that person. Therefore, there can never be an instant where there is fear or anger at that other person. All forms of thought, all forms of philosophy, all forms of religion come to that point. Now, we're studying the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job, in a nutshell, is to reveal what I've just said to you. The other Spirit's job, in a nutshell, is to make that position seem like a lie to you. All other teachers, all other positions, all other stimuli in life, their function is to make you believe you need something. The Holy Spirit's one mission, so I mean, this is bad odds. There are 5 billion stimuli in your life and only one Holy Spirit. How can this possibly then be manifested? How can it be true? It's more difficult than you've ever believed. Many are called, but few are chosen, because few are willing to walk that line in which says, I need nothing. I am fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is not important as long as your need is met. That position must be true in every arena. There can never be a stand when you have an enemy. How can you have an enemy? You can never again be a victim. You can never again fear. You can never again be lonely. Now, to get there from here, you have to go through the cross, and that costs you your life. You come to a thing, very simple statement in Paul, of Paul in Philippians. Whatsoever is gain to me is a loss for Christ. Therefore, if your mind is on the direction of I need something, I need to gain something, I need to have something, by definition, it's a loss for Christ. I don't care if it's knowledge of the Bible, ability to speak, I don't care what it is. If you think you need it, it's a loss for God. And you've believed a lie. Now think about your life. You have been up to date a 24-hour a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. You have been a need machine that whose appetite is insatiable. It's time to turn the machine off tonight. To come with a statement that is witnessed publicly by us that says as its basis, if I ever again believe I need anything in any dimension of my life, I confess it as sin. Sin isn't what you've done, it's what you are. Because you are an entity that believes it is in need. That's the basis. That's why the Antichrist is working in you 24 hours a day, in your dreams. You're a constant need machine. Can't get by with it anymore. Jesus said, had I not come, he said this to a people that had for 3,500 years been sin conscious by their definition. In other words, everything they did was a sin or a trespass. Christ had the balls to come along and say, had I not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak. He said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thine eyes. This is the simplest thing there is. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Takes a lot, an incredible thing to happen. It takes a battle here to cause you to come to the certainty and the understanding that if you believe you need something, it must be confessed as the sin that crucified Christ. It can never again be nurtured. This is a milestone in your life, tonight, right now. If you don't believe this, and if you don't accept this, you will leave this body of people. If you believe you have a need that Ole must not understand because you're lying, you're wrong. There is no need that is justifiable.
Between me and what?
No.
That's a good one. No, there's gotta be a difference. I know I own
all
marriages, but
no, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
What's the difference?
Because if you think you need it, you're giving breath to it. If you want it, you just want it.
Oh, that whole other sort.
Well, it's never.
the issue is, God created you to be exactly as you are at this instant. The question is, what's the solution to the desire or want or need problem? Our minds see us, they're stimulated because we need something, or we want something, or we desire something. Well, what takes place is a transaction that takes place in which then a series of maneuvers are done by mental gymnastics or physical gymnastics so you can accomplish that which you think you want, or so you can obtain that which you want. So your system fell apart in the process. God desires that it would work this way. I desire something, I speak that desire to the Father, I wait, I rest, I forget it. Man desires something, tries everything he can to get it, and then if he can't get it, just dreams about getting it. Well, the spiritual man, same stimulus. And he simply says, Father, I desire this, now I wait. That's why the scriptures say, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, that which God hath prepared for them that wait on him. Now, let me give you a perfect example. A lot of you, you know, I was in physical, terrible pain for a long time. A lot of you prayed for it. So, and then you got your faith tested because I was just as much pain later as I was after you prayed for me as I was before you prayed for me. Well, right now I'm out of pain. Now that's an answer to prayer. But you desire instant gratification. And so if that desire isn't gratified, then you call, your way of life is, you call them that are in that way happy. You desire, you desire the Gentile mind again. You understand? God's not asking you to be different than you are. He created you to be exactly as you are. The difference is where is the source of that which you desire? Okay? Well, seriously, are you...
So the lie is linear time. Because if it weren't for time, then prayer would be immediately answered and everybody would believe.
Right. But don't negate it. Don't spiritualize this thing so that you don't have to bear its consequences. I'm interested. I mean, are you sure? Do all of you understand what I said earlier?
Well, it's either that or become the most self-consuming, grasping, conscious, consuming being there is. I mean, you got one or the other.
The lie, the source of the... by the act of the death, the life and death and resurrection of Christ... In our minds, we still think that Jesus Christ is an option because we've made him to be a religion or a system of thought in which you choose between that way of thought and all other ways of thought. Jesus Christ isn't an option. It's not something that you can choose him. I mean, it's like this idiotic stuff in modern religion says you can accept Jesus as your personal savior. That's bullshit. Christ is a cosmic phenomena that took place at a discrete moment in time to cause the end of the lie. And the lie was is that the human race, or you, were separate from the source of all life. Now, if you believe that you are separated from life, life meaning in its fullest, then every moment you have to grasp to try to gather or obtain life. The lie is that you're separate from life. That's the lie of the Antichrist. That's the lie of your mind. And therefore you take actions that prove that you believe you're separate from life. It's the separateness that's the major deception, that the whole world lieth in deception. Everything else is just the incidental manifestations of that one lie. You as a hunk of protoplasm, most of you are here when I've taught on this, that you're just a bunch of chemicals and nerve endings and stuff, and you put together in a certain way, and that body knows only two things. It only knows life and death. Death, your being, from the time you were a child, death is separation. Anytime you're separate from something that you desire, then your body responds as though it were dead, or it was threatened with death. Life, on the other hand, is what your body continually moves towards. Now, death, separation, life is sex. And so those are the two strongest motivators. Now, that's why the relationship between a male and a female, a man and a woman, is the closest revelator to what we are here for. But by the same token, it's the one that gets you in the most trouble, because it's misused. It's used as an instrument of gratification as opposed to an instrument of revelation. Capisce? Now, so the idea of wanting more than you have comes from a further lie, or a lie that's behind that one. It says you're separate from life. Now, you must live as though you were not separate. That's what we talked about last time we met, about the life in the spirit is walking in this world as though we were already translated into this new existence. You forget that, because you begin to walk just like every other person walks, with the same test, and you start getting religious, which God hates religion worse than he hates anything in the world. Because it separates. Religion, all that religion does, the word religion, and it's only used a couple times in the Bible, and it's a word in the Greek that comes from the word which means to bind with chains. Because what it does is it separates and segments your life, where you have parts of you are, you know, you can think, well, this is church life, or this is spiritual stuff, and this is secular stuff, and this is world stuff. That's wrong. Our whole economy, our whole society is based on these separations. Well, I think I'm talking to the... You know this.
Well,
okay.
Fairly thoroughly, as opposed to.
Okay.
It can never be pleasing, which we don't know because we forget. Let's
see. The biggest manifestation, the clearest manifestation, that you understand what we talked about vis-a-vis separateness, the one that is most evident, is prophesying. If you believe what I said earlier, then your life will always be one of letting out that which is in, bubbling forth. If you don't believe it, then you will constantly protect, gather in, because you'll be afraid of saying the wrong thing, or you're afraid of hurting somebody, or you're afraid you won't. If you say this, then the lie will be further expanded. Prophecy, that's why Paul said, above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy. Not prophesying, telling the future, but that you speak and bubble forth whatever is there at any given moment, no matter what it appears like. Now, again, we are in a position, in a state of being, in which everything we do tries to protect ourselves. Now, the trying to protect yourself is just a squirrel getting nuts, waiting for the time when you will be more separate. So if you gain all these things, then the next time you feel totally separate, you'll have a box of goodies to keep you from that separateness. And so therefore you don't prophesy, you store up until you run it through your mind so the words are right, so that you won't enhance this distance. Now, it's as axiomatic as life. If you believe, you will prophesy. If you don't believe, you will shut up. You will protect yourself. You'll make sure you have the words right. You know, you'll say, oh, that's just the way I am. No, it's not. God desires that you be a fountain of living waters, constantly outpouring. Well, no, I'm just quiet. No, you're not. The fact is, you're thinking it. If you thought it, it's the same as it's speaking it. It's the same as accomplishing it. Again, the evidence that you don't believe what I said is your failure to prophesy. If you believe, then you will outflow all the time without regard for what's coming out. Amen? That's why it says, be careful for nothing. God hates carefulness. Religion loves carefulness. Religion loves prudence. God hates it. Be careful for nothing. I quit. We didn't talk about anything I want to talk about again. No. Okay, take it, big guy.